through verse 40. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go and fight against the Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with a sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. All right, please be seated. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that as we look at your word today, that your Holy Spirit would lead us. Lord, I just ask that you would speak through me. Lord, anything that I have to say, Lord, I pray that it would come from you. And anything that comes from me, Lord, I ask that it would be taken away. So, Lord, just we ask that as we come into your presence together, Lord, we are so thankful for who you are, for what you have done for us, Lord. Truly a father's heart, a parent's heart. And, Lord, as we look at that parent's heart, Lord, we are reminded of our mothers. And Lord, many of us, it's a bit of a hard time. I know for me, I also think of my grandmas. And Lord, there's a lot of people who at this time, it brings both joy and pain. Lord, we ask that you would be meeting us where we need to be met. Lord, we thank you so much for our mothers. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray that you would use your word in our lives, that we would be different because of the truth of your word hitting its mark in our hearts and minds and changing us, transforming us from the inside out. Bless us, Lord, during this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So, guys, why don't we see more victorious living? Why? I mean, we hear stories, you know, we've been kind of, as we come to the book of David and the book of 1 Samuel and look at the story of David, the rise of David. And as we look at this story, one of the things that we've been kind of chopping it up. Have you guys ever heard the story of David chopped up like we've been doing it? Part of me wants to tell it all in one kabam because it's such a beautiful, incredible story. And I've preached through it before doing that. But I wanted to spend a little bit more time as we go through it. I really felt the Holy Spirit was leading me in breaking it up in sections and having us focus on certain parts of it. And as we come to the Word today, one of the things I want to look at is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, people have been trying to improve and update the gospel for many, many years, since Jesus. You know, one of the main things that the Apostle Paul talks about in the Word of God, one of his main themes that he keeps coming back to is being careful, be wary of false teachers who try and change the gospel. And guys, I want to say this. A lot of people will try and bring change not with evil intent. A lot of people will try and bring change to make it, you know, we got to make it more hip. We got to make it and... the style in which we bring and the form of the message does need to keep moving and changing, but the gospel never changes. The gospel itself never changes. 1 Corinthians 15, 56 and 57 say this: "For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power, but thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ." Because we have victory not because we step up and we get it finally figured out. Not because we learn the ropes and we learn how to jump through the right hoops at the right times with God. We experience God's victory only by what he has done and by clinging on to that. As we've been through so much as a church family with loss and with struggle. And when we struggle, man, we hold on tight to our Lord. And there is great, great blessing. When you try and change the gospel and make it something better, make it something more applicable, you get away from holiness. And instead of holiness, we experience things like environmental responsibility. Instead of divine judgment, we have social justice. And instead of God, we have spirituality. And guys, I want to encourage us. There's a lot of good things out there. But they're not the things that save. They're not the things we put our hearts on. I know a number of you have a lot of things in your heart of, why don't we talk, you know, we've got this election coming up. Why don't we talk about this more? And we got all these things and all these problems and all these things around the world. And why don't we talk about these things more? And it's good to talk about those things. But our first thing, what we stand on, what we preach, what we share is the gospel. Because those things won't change according to us working harder or us figuring out a clever way to come about it. We have to deal with the source. When I see my brother who's struggling, no matter what it is, when I see my brother who's struggling, I don't come to him with my wisdom on the struggle and expect life transformation. But if I come to a brother or sister who's truly struggling with the gospel, and God meets them, and God brings transformation, it's the kind of change that I can only dream of. When eternal change, that's right. When Jesus is introduced in the first sentence of the New Testament, he's introduced as Jesus Christ, the Son of David. And when we see that story, the story of David as part of the background of the gospel of Jesus, I think it's starting to give us a flavor of where we're going. And remember, where are we at in the story right now? David has been promised that he's going to be the next king. He's been shown, and he was shown in front of his brothers. His brothers were having a little bit of a hard time with it, which we saw last week, especially the oldest one. And so David has come to the Valley of Elah on an errand to bring food to his brothers. He's also a young guy. He's wanting to see what's going on. So he leaves his stuff, remember from last week, and he leaves his stuff with the bags guy. And he goes and checks out what's going on. He's excited. He's excited to see what's happening in the battle. And he wants to, you know, kind of feel what's going on himself. And then Goliath came out, and he came out, which he'd done before, multiple times. Remember, he does his fee-fi-fo-fum. He does his big ta-da. And he's dressed, he's this huge man, and he's dressed in this metal that to a people who don't even have the ability to make their own weapons out of metal. And here he is covered in metal. And so not only is he huge, he seems beyond defeat. And he comes out and he mocks God. And he mocks God's people. And he says, "You send out your best to take on me. Winner take all. Game on." And day after day, he would come out and do this. And what's the response of the people? They're hiding. They're running for cover. They're fearful. Every day, the battle lines get drawn, and they run in fear. Goliath comes out, makes his call, and the people of God, why do they fear this man? Because they're seeing, remember from last week? They're seeing with a perspective, man's perspective. And here comes David, and at the end of last week, he came in and he heard what was happening. And he's thinking, man, what's going on? And even as he hears this, he's and asking questions, he's asking questions that other people aren't asking. Other people are trying to run and find cover. He's like, who is this guy that he should come at the Lord's anointing? Who is this guy who will come against the armies of the Lord? He starts speaking words that nobody else is speaking. And his oldest brother says, why did you come down here to be seen? You left those few sheep at home? Come on, David. You got to be kidding me. Look at you. You're still a boy. This is a man's world here. And at the end of last week, David said, no, I'm not going to fight with my brother. He doesn't take the fight inward. He takes the fight as we see today, where it belongs. So let's jump in. As David has heard of what is being done as what has been done, and we start in verse 31. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Guys, this is a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a picture of the gospel. Something beautiful is being said here. It's outrageous, first of all. This boy comes into the court of a king. First of all, just that in itself is almost inappropriate. And he comes in, and David says to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this. Hey, king, you don't have to be afraid anymore. Hey, king, remember, because who's King Saul? Why was he chosen? He was chosen to take out the Philistines, this very reason, because the people said, we want a king like everybody else has. And they got the biggest guy. And the biggest guy was hiding behind the baggage when he was called. And David's putting his stuff with the baggage guy and running to the battle to find out what's going on. And when he finds out, he finds out that there's also a reward for the one who kills Goliath. And as he's asking about that, the word gets around. Hey, there's this guy. Somebody's actually asking what's being done. What's the reward? Nobody's asked that question yet. Somebody go tell Saul. And they tell Saul, and so Saul brings him in, and he says, don't lose heart. It sounds a lot like something else I remember from the New Testament, from Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. You see, that's just as ridiculous as this is ridiculous. Hey, you know what? Don't be afraid. Your Savior's here. He's wearing a diaper. Excuse me? You see, God's ways are not our ways. God moves in ways that we have to scratch our head and say, what is God thinking? Have you ever been there? What is God thinking? Have you ever been in a place where the situation grew and grew and you're praying, and the more you pray, the more it seems like it's getting out of hand? And so you think, why pray? Why do I need to pray? Is God even here? And then we start sounding like the Psalms. My God, Psalm 22, why have you forsaken me? Why have you hid your face from me? And we're real with God, and we're open with God, and we're angry at God, and we're honest with God, and we bare our hearts, and then we see that he never leaves us, forsakes us. He walks with us through the valley. And here's David wanting to go into the valley. Something incredible is happening here. Fear not, you will be saved. Don't be afraid. This boy will save you. Saul replied, verse 33, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy. And he has been a fighting man from his youth. Hey, David, I appreciate your heart. I appreciate your zeal. You're a child. This guy has been learning how to kill people since he was your age. And he's a grown man now. He's the Navy SEAL. He's the well-trained guy. He's the guy that can't be defeated. Does anybody blame Saul for this? I mean, Saul is speaking the wisdom of men, isn't he? The wisdom of men says, we can't do this. The wisdom of mankind says, this is impossible. Saul's disbelief, and it's very understandable. Verse 34, but David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. Now, that's pretty impressive, isn't it? So what's David doing? He's, in a sense, he's giving his resume a little bit, isn't he? He's saying, you can trust me. I've done this before. You see, David had been... The reason David's ready for the battle is he's intimate with God. He's spent time with God. He's spent time trusting God. And we'll see about that word trust in more detail in just a minute. But he's saying to Saul, who doesn't trust God, who doesn't see God, okay, see me, see what I've done. And he's trying to help him get there. And as he's speaking, Saul is listening, and you can see Saul doesn't want to fight. And when you don't want to do something, you are looking for any way out, including a snot-nosed little guy who thinks he can do this thing. Maybe he wasn't snot-nosed. He was. Hopefully he's wiped a little bit. But he's saying, I went after, I struck it and rescued it from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defiled the armies of the living God. See, David, we're getting back to this important piece, guys, of understanding the gospel, of understanding the story of 1 Samuel, which is seeing as God sees. God's perspective, God's way of doing things is different. And God's perspective sees Goliath as this little gnat compared to God. And David has the eyes and the heart of God. He sees it as, this guy's no match for my God. No match. Verse 37, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistines. You see what David is now doing? He's now not saying me, he's saying the Lord. So he's bringing him into the truth of where it's at. The Lord delivered me in the past, and he'll deliver me again. The Lord delivered me before, he'll deliver us now. Our faith is not in me. Don't see me. See God. At least see God in me. The Lord who delivered will deliver me. Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Can you feel what Saul, just think about it. Have you ever said, ever had buyer's remorse? Ever bought something and then you're like, okay, I bought it, I own it, I spent lots of money on it. Oh. Was that a good decision? Okay, I've got bills. How do I make this? You ever been there? Okay, David, go. What's Saul thinking? And as he's watching this kid walk out of his tent, what's he thinking? Here's Saul. Remember, Saul, a head taller than everyone else. He's the one that the people expect to go out and fight. Every time Goliath has come out, right before they hide, what do? Where's our king? Not here again. And instead, the king is sending out a boy. Another thing I want you to think about this. Young people, God's got a plan for your lives. God has a plan for your lives. Don't let anyone look down upon you because you are young. God has a purpose for you. What is that purpose? Find that out. He wants to use you today, at this week, this month, at your school, with your friends. Do you have a vision for what God is doing in your heart, in your life? The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. And then Saul does something. People who don't get the gospel try and change the gospel. People who know about God don't know God. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these. He was not used to them, and they were too big and heavy. They didn't fit. You see, Saul's response is, I'm not going, but I want David to go in my armor, in my name. I want him to represent me. And David puts this stuff on. And he doesn't know it, and it doesn't fit, and it's not who he is. Guys, one of the beautiful things about the gospel of Jesus Christ is we go from death to life. We go from death to life. We are changed from the inside out through salvation. God takes what's dead and makes it alive. He transforms us. He does a mighty work within us. And then the situations in our lives come up, and what do we try and do? We often try and put on that old arm, that stuff that doesn't work, we try and be like man's perspective of how we're supposed to be for the battle. Isn't this, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, try a little harder, rub some dirt in it, be stronger, be tougher. They hit you, you hit them back. They come at you, you destroy them. We have this, we buy into this man's picture of how we're supposed to live. And we try and fight in our own strength rather than who we are in Christ Jesus. We have a new identity in Jesus Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. And in that new identity, guess what? We have victory, number one. Because Christ has already won the battle. He's already died, resurrected, and is preparing for us a place. So why don't we see more victory? And I would say this, because we're wearing the wrong stuff. We're doing the wrong things. We're believing the lies of the accuser. We're believing the lies about who we are. The enemy is saying, you're just another guy with some armor. And you don't even know how to use it very well. Guys, I promise you one thing. I've experienced it too many times myself. And I know you guys have too. If you fight against the enemy in your own strength, you will lose. I want to say that. I want you to hear it. If you come against the enemy in your own strength, you will be defeated. You'll be discouraged. You will believe the lies. And guys, the lies, when they become, when we take in the lie and we live as though that lie is true, and the accuser comes and puts this on us, it swallows us up. We'll become unable to move forward because we're believing a lie of who the enemy of God says we are. And not only are we believing that lie, we're believing the lie in how to stand against the challenges of life. Trying harder will not make things better, spiritually speaking. Humbling yourself broken before God. Guys, the truth is, what is God doing? He's showing that man's got all these different ways he's tried to make things right, to get things, and God keeps saying, no, no, no. I've got a different path. I'm making a way where there's no way. And David is a picture of Christ. He's a picture of a different kind of king. And the old king comes in the old stuff. But the picture of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes in a different way. It comes in a way that gives God the glory. So we see Saul's way, which is put him in my stuff. Do it my way. Then we see David's way. He said to Saul, because I am not used to them, I can't go in these. I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Guys, some of you are carrying a lot of weight. At times in my life, I've carried a ton and been beaten down. And when you're carrying a lot of weight, let me give you an example. So I was playing hoops with some of the guys from church here. And as we were going out, Fenton caught us together, and he got a bunch of us. And, you know, I'm getting out there, and for like the first 30 seconds, I was on fire. Unstoppable. Didn't get the ball much in those first 30 seconds, but I was unstoppable. And then reality hit. Carrying a few more pounds than I used to. Everything was different. You know what I did when I... who was it? Carl. Carl, where are you at? Carl. So Carl says to me, he sees me taking off my ring. He says, why are you doing that, Pastor? I said, well, you know, when you dunk, if your finger, those loops that hold up the thing, if it gets caught on that, it can rip your finger off. So I, you know, take my ring off just in case I feel like dunking. I'm sure he went home and said, what? Because I was looking good touching the bottom of the net. Well, maybe not looking so good, but I was touching the bottom of the net. Oh, my goodness, man. What a picture of, as time goes on, if we don't deal with things, if we don't get things dealt with the Lord, we're packing it on. And it's holding us down. And then we wonder, I'm ready for battle and I can't even, God, where are you? What's going on? I don't get it. I don't see it. I don't see you. And the reality is we've believed so many of the lies that they've become a false identity of who we are in Jesus Christ. You're no good. You'll never be able to accomplish that. Why even try? They don't love you because you're not lovable. You're a loser. You knew it wasn't going to work out. The enemy keeps hitting, doesn't he? Keeps hitting and hitting. And when lies hit their mark, man, our very identity starts to be corroded with this weight, and it's now we're carrying this burden. But there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Guys, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The lies that the enemy says about you, they are not true. If you are a child of God, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have gone from death to life. You have gone from being broken to being whole in Him. And now all the enemy can do is try and get you to believe the lie. I can't use these. I'm not used to them. So we took them off. Guys, we need to take off the lies. We need to get them out. Don't just pile truth on top of the lie. Get rid of the lie. Replace the lie. Don't just say, that's not me, and go on from there, because more lies will come in. Release the lie. And some of you guys, you are just like me, and you are holding lies from long ago. I think that's true with most of us, if not all of us. The lies that hurt the most are the oldest ones. And anything from your childhood, are you kidding me? That's found a mark. And it affects the vision, because with the wound comes the vow, right? I'll never be like that. I'll never. And then we fail. And we're like it. And then we start believing the lie of, man. But there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm not used to them, so he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in a pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in hand, approached the Philistine. Man, can you see it? He's getting rid of who he's not. He's going down and he picks up 5 stones from the brook. They're smooth from the water. These are the same kind of stones that he's used to kill a lion and a bear. He's seen God deliver him before. All those years, all the day after day, hour after hour, singing to the sheep, talking to the sheep, knocking down piles of rocks that he had built up, knocking down rocks. Then there comes the bear. Then there comes the lion. Defeats them. God's prepared him for this time. But the reality is, he needs to come to a place where he says, I trust God. I'm not going to see and believe what I see. Everyone else there is believing what they see. Guys, I promise you, if you trust God, you will seem like a fool to some of your friends. Because the things of God are foolishness to this world. But David would not be a king like Saul. David would not be a king like all the other nations. Why? He knew God and he trusted him. He trusted God. Now we're going to see as we continue on in the rise of David, the series, that this is a beautiful place for David to be. And we're going to see at times David makes some pretty lousy choices. And some things that happen to us as we get older, David starts to go through. Those wounds start building up. We're going to hear in the future about David getting really good at dodging spears. But he's not just dodging the spears from Saul. The enemy knows how to hit a mark too. But why is David here experiencing victory? Because he's trusting God. Because where, if you honestly look at your life right now, as I was going through this, I believe it was Wednesday, where am I not trusting God? I just spent time asking myself that question, praying on that question, and for about 15 minutes, I was doing really well. For about 15 minutes, I was thinking, man, things are good. I'm trusting God. Okay. And then I spent more time in prayer, and I was honest, and then a little bit more honest before God. Then a little bit more real. And you know what happens when you start being real with God? The truth starts flowing out of you. And all of a sudden, I was listening to my prayer, and my prayer went from, thank you, God, for this, and thank you, God, for that, and it was very nice, and to, God, what in the world? I've got these things that... And as I'm honest before you, now I start being real with you. And we've got issues. And you know, there's a thing when you have issues with God, there's a pretty good chance you know where you're going with the situation, because the problem doesn't lie with God. But you don't get there if you're not honest with him. My prayer is that this next week, maybe not even just tonight, but over the next week, I spend some time in prayer before God and be real with him. Pray the Psalms out. Get Psalm 22, Psalm 77. Read some of the lamenting Psalms. You want to get the ball rolling of... I was talking to somebody this week of why do sad songs sell so well? Because it feels good to feel bad. You want to get your heart ready to be honest with God? Read the Psalms. And as we're real with God, guess what God will do? He'll meet us right where we need to be met. And as you share your heart of brokenness, and in that brokenness, guys, it's full, and what I was amazed at, because I thought I'd dealt, and I have dealt with this over and over, and new lies keep coming back. And I had a new wave of stuff to deal with. And you start realizing, God, I need to be honest with you. I need to talk to you about some real stuff, and I'm upset with you because of this. Granted, you're God, I probably shouldn't be upset, but I am. I've been praying for this for how many years? And it seems worse than it was when I started praying. Can I trust you, God? God can handle those kinds of questions. God can handle honesty in prayer. If God receives the Psalms and gives us them as his word, we can be honest with God. And through honesty comes revelation, which is, now I start seeing, this is where he was moving. Oh my goodness, my brokenness. And And something is, God's preparing David to be the king, and a king not like other kings. And the only way for that to happen, guys, if you hear nothing else, hear this. The only way for that to happen is for David to be broken before God. For him to say, I can't be the king. I'm a child. I don't have this. I don't know what I'm doing. When we say, God, I can't, God says, I know I can. And he says, let me meet you right there. Let me meet you right in that real place. And I will lift you up. I will do a work in your life. The thing that you can't do, I will do in you. And something, and it's not even, guys, words aren't enough here. When you've got a wound that has been gaping, just this open wound for years and years and years, and you look down and it's a scar and it's healed, and you think, what happened? And when you looked at that wound before, it brought all those, all those broken, yucky, gross things up in your mind and heart. And now you look down and you see the glory of God. You remember what happened, but you think, God made me whole. It's a scar. It's not a wound. God is good. Guys, that's victorious living. That is victory in Christ. Being whole on the inside when the storm hasn't changed on the outside. Being at peace when your situation hasn't changed. You're praying, God, change the situation. God says, no, I've got something better. I'm going to change you. Because, guys, guess what? We live in a broken world. And it's really, really broken. And the enemy is having a heyday. We don't have to be victims of our situation, no matter what the situation. The worst thing you've gone through, the worst thing you've gone through, you weren't alone. You have a loving God who has walked with you into the valley, into the battle. And that God will lead you, if you trust him, lead you out of the valley. Guys, don't camp in the valley. Don't live there. Right? We all have to spend some time there because we have to be broken before. God loves us enough. But don't lose 60 years in the valley of brokenness. Don't spend a lifetime believing the lies of who the enemy says you are. It's for freedom that Christ set you free. Keep in step with the Spirit. You're no longer bound to sin. We don't have to be there day after day. So I want you to think, what's that one sin that you've done, that you do, that needs to be dealt with? That one. Not those. That one. That one. The one you work hardest to hide. The one you would be horrified if anyone knew. Bring it out of the darkness into the light before God. Now, what's the sin that was done from someone else that so wounded you, it gave you no identity of that lie, of that pain, of that hurt from the enemy? Maybe it was said by a person, but it was spoken by the enemy of God. Don't live in that lie in the valley. Bring it into the light. Bring it before God. Have him. Not only, guys, here's the key. hear the truth not from man, but from God. Pray to God and say, spend enough time in prayer saying, God, this is who I'm hearing that I am. I know it's a lie, but I've been carrying it for years. I choose today to sit here until you speak to me and I hear the truth from you, because the greatest counselor of all is the Holy Spirit, God himself. And when God himself, not a counselor of man, but when God himself replaces the lie with the truth at the core of your identity, of what you used to believe in that lie, and now you believe the truth of God, now there's freedom in Christ. Now the next arrow's come and it's like, are you kidding me? I'm not going to believe that lie anymore. I'm not going to be slave anymore. I'm not going to be like the people of God as Moses is leading them out, and there they go, and within a very short amount of time, they're talking about the good old days of being a slave. Guys, don't get swept up in that. They weren't the good old days. Slavery is not what we want. Spiritual slavery is not a good thing. Be free in Christ. Let him speak. Hear it from God. Trust God enough that you're going to stay there in prayer until you hear from God himself. I promise you one thing. If you honestly seek him, he will speak and you will find what he has for you. God loves you. He loves us. And we desperately need that love. We need it so bad. Be encouraged. Guys, there is a battle going on. And I want to encourage us to do this. We're going to hit it here pretty soon. Run to the battle. Run to the battle. We'll see that David is going to, as he comes to the Goliath, he's going to be accelerating. Why? Because his strength isn't in himself. His trust is not in what he can do. His trust is in the God who delivered him from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear and will deliver him from this Philistine. Let's pray. God, Lord, this is gospel. This is identity in Christ. This is foundational truth, Lord, that will bring us freedom. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me for allowing the enemy to have so many strongholds and footholds in my life. Father, forgive me for believing the lies. When I knew from your word the truth. Lord, thank you that you love me enough to not leave me alone. You love me enough to stay on in my heart and mind and keep bringing me back to the truth of your word. All of us together, Lord, as a family, we've come to your word. Father, we want to put our trust in the right place. Forgive us for trusting ourselves. Forgive us for trusting the hurt that became so familiar that it became our identity. We didn't know who we were apart from the negative feeling. Forgive us for getting lost there, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you meet us where we need to be met, that you do what we can't do, that you've done already everything that needs to be done for us to experience the kingdom of God in part now and in full later. Lord, we want to see victory in our lives and in the lives of the people around us, and so we choose to believe truth rather than the lie. Father, show us how to believe. We choose believe. Show us how to believe. Lord, we pray for a spiritual covering from the enemy, Lord, over this place right now, Lord, that you would Have us covered with your Holy Spirit. And anyone who is struggling to hear this truth and receive it, Lord, that the covering would protect us from the lie right now, that you would speak to their heart clearly, to their mind clearly. Father, we pray for freedom where there is bondage. Lord, we pray for bondage to come to an end. We pray for relational, spiritual, emotional bondage to end, Lord. Free us, Lord. Do a mighty work. We pray this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.